Friends, the good news of Jesus Christ is on the move in Mark's gospel. We've been watching it move together over these past few weeks, and my hope is that we are studying its movement. Mark says at the outset of this gospel, as I've reminded us every week, that he wants to tell us about the beginning of the good news. And in beginning in that way, he is attuning our ears and our hearts to see that these events that he's telling us about are a movement of the good news, and that these other things that he's telling us about are also a movement of the good news. He wants to show us, if we are patient enough to look closely, that the gospel has made a powerful start in this world in these events that he's telling us about. A start that we, too, are called to carry along forward. We could, in fact, carry this investigation through a study of the entire length of this gospel, because, in fact, the whole gospel is a telling of how the good news has gotten on the move. But Mark 1 is uniquely important in some ways, because right at the beginning of this gospel, we see this movement cropping up here and there in ways that we might not have thought to notice as the gospel making progress before. It may never have occurred to us before to think of baptism as good news on the move. It might not have occurred to us to think of repentance and aligning our lives with the kingdom of God as a movement of the gospel. But what we can witness, even thus far in the part of Mark 1 that we've covered so far, that the waves of the gospel are rippling outward. And it takes on all kinds of different forms. And it takes on these forms because the gospel that we've been asked to train our eyes upon here is not just a neatly packaged message, but God's embodied and transforming life for the world. And today, as we continue further along in this chapter, we read about Jesus calling his disciples. "Follow me," he tells them, "and I will make you fish for people." Somehow, some way, the calling of these disciples too is a piece of the movement of the good news. Here it's just Simon and Andrew, James and John, only the first four of many disciples that would follow. But what we're being asked to consider, I believe, is how this good news gets on the move, not just sacramentally and not just through the changing of our lives, but also through our relationships. How might our relationships, the bonds that we form intentionally with other people, become channels through which the gospel moves out into this world? That's what I want to look at today with you. How might our friendships become channels through which the good news gets on the move? Some friendships are harder than others. Some friendships are more intentional than others. I want to tell you a couple of stories about a couple of friends of mine that have showed me quite powerfully what it looks like for friendship to be a channel of the gospel in the world. I'm going to call them Friend 1 and Friend 2 because I'm sure they'd rather not have me use their names. But Friend 1 got a call on the phone one day from a person who had just been a loose acquaintance of theirs up until that moment. The person on the phone was in a lot of trouble. It was legal trouble, and it was relationship trouble. It was also financial trouble, all wrapped up into one, and it was big trouble. They were facing the kind of thing that marks the dividing line between a before and an after in a person's life. And the way things that were looking in this situation, the after was looking really, really bleak. It was not a call that Friend 1 was expecting to receive. They were just casual acquaintances after all, that this call came meant that there was no one else left. This was a friendship that took shape not in the discovery of some common interest or shared hobbies or pursuits, but simply and only because friend one understood that friendship can be a channel of God's restoring grace. The person who he was speaking to on the other end of the phone at this moment of time honestly did not know if they were willing to walk forward into the wreckage of their life. But friend one said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk on the phone at least twice a day. You're going to call me when the darkness is getting to be too much to handle. We're going to meet in person. I'm going to show up and walk with you through every step of the trial and help you sort out the financial problems." This was a person who was broken, and friend one was catching the pieces before they all hit the ground. The book of Isaiah says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick you will not snuff out." Friend one was fulfilling that promise on God's behalf. Those were promises that friend one kept over the course of several years, and today that person's life is on a totally different footing. With a family, and a new purchase on life, and a calling to share the gospel, friend one showed him what it means, what it looks like to go and fish for people. Friend two has been a saint in my life and in the lives of many other people. And I don't call them a saint because they're perfect or have performed miracles or anything like that, but because their life has been a beacon of the holy for many a person and has spurred many a person toward a closer resemblance of Christ. To know this person is good news, because friend two won't let you slip. Friend two will not let you stray and leaves no room for confusion about where you stand in their heart. I imagine that friend two has probably made a few phone calls in her lifetime that people on the other end might have been a little worried to receive. But that's how she carries her people. And if they were down in the dirt when she got hold of them, they'd be dusted off and on 2 feet by the time she was done. She is intentional about her friendships. She knows what these friendships really are, and she understands their power and their capacity. And so she's baptized her friendships in a covenant of care. And because of that, her friendships are good news for you, a ripple of the gospel still on the move in the world. These friends and the ways that they live out friendship in the world with the kind of mission and purpose attached to them, with a different level of understanding of what friendship is for and what friendship can be, have shown me why relationships have to be a part of the movement of God's good news. Taking people under our wing of friendship, like Jesus takes on new disciples, has to be part of the spread of the gospel. Because the transforming power of God is love. And love is the stuff of relationships. To reach the kingdom's goal, we're gonna need partners on the way. We can't do it alone. We need people like friend one to pick us up and show us the way when we're down and when we're broken. People need us to understand our friendship covenants to them through God's eyes if our friendship is going to be a means of God's grace. We need people like Friend 2 in this world to declare the existence of a church out of thin air, out of sheer force of their God-given conviction that God has gifted us people to look after. The gospel is on the move through these friends. They are the ambassadors of love who carve out spaces where transformation can happen in this world. Because of their commitment, because of their patience, because of their love and their encouragement, we can find our way again when the visibility is low. We all need those people. We need to be those people for one another. We need to be those people for the world. Because the kind of commitment that Jesus makes to his disciples, follow me and I'll transform you. Follow me and I'll take you from being a simple fisherman to being a fisher of people. That kind of love and care for one another is the gospel on the move. And so, friends, I want to ask you, who are you caring for today? For whom is your friendship good news? There are bound to be some, but maybe we could all do a little bit more to consider a bit more closely the power of this thing called friendship to be an instrument of God's transforming work in the world. We could all afford to think long and hard about the fact that when the ball was getting rolling and the good news was gathering steam back there at its beginnings, that Jesus formed these friendships, these relationships with intention, that they would be transforming. Well, with the expectation that they would reverberate further into the world. So pick up your phones today. Make a priority of these friendships today. Ask yourself, what can you do to enter into your relationships in a way that looks more like the way Jesus did? Friends, our love is to be an extension of God's love. So love with purpose. Love with intention. Love in a way that makes a splash for the kingdom. And all of God's people said, Amen.